Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Make Onions Cry, the podcast. I'm your host, Kat.
I'm your host, Angie.
And today we also have an extra guest who some of you might have heard before.
My name's Abby. I guess second time is the charm. Second time. I'm Kat's better half.
Okay.
My wife.
Let's not lie.
Hi, wife.
But yeah, actually on the topic of wives, good transition. Happy Perfect Pride segue. Month. Yeah, happy Pride Month, everyone. We are recording this at the start of Pride Month. Should be released halfway through it. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to do an episode kind of commemorating a little bit about Pride and just having a discussion and a conversation with two people on the LGBTQ spectrum and just getting the different perspectives on that. So it'll be a bit of a different layout for this episode, but I still think it should be fun. So let's get into it. So I wanted to kick this off just by giving a bit of background related to gay rights in the United States. So this won't cover everything, as honestly that on its own could be an episode. But I did want to cover three major Supreme Court cases that could shed a bit of light into why gay rights is still a topic, why it's still a fight, and why we even celebrate Pride Month today. So let's start off in 1986, which was 36 years ago. Michael Hardwick received a citation for drinking in public, but due to a mismatch on the bureaucratic end, the wrong court date was written on his citation, so he ended up not showing up to court. The officer showed up at his home and found Hardwick engaged in consensual homosexual activity, which at the time violated Georgia's laws that criminalized sodomy. Hardwick challenged this, the case made its way all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the court voted against him, stating that there was no constitutional protection for acts of sodomy, and that the decision fell on the individual states themselves. So then, skipping along, almost two decades later, in 2003, a very similar case reached the Supreme Court, Lawrence v. Texas. John Lawrence was caught having consensual sexual activities with another man, and made his way up the Supreme Court appeals process. This time, however, the court ruled in favor of Lawrence, citing the Due Process Clause. And just to give a quick quote from Justice Kennedy here, he did say that the right to liberty under the Due Process Clause gives them the full right to engage in their conduct without intervention of the government. And that also kind of brings us to the most recent case that was probably the biggest win for gay rights, which was Obergefell v. Hodges. And this is the case that legalized gay marriage across the 50 states. So definitely a huge win.
I was just going to say, it's crazy that that's in 2015.
Like 2015 was, what, 7 years ago? Like, yeah. It hasn't even been a decade since nationwide you could get married in any state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even before that, it was early 2000s where you can't be crimed. I don't know, was crime
can't
the
be
word?
Considered a criminal?
Yeah, you can't be considered a criminal for having sex with the opposite sex.
Thank you,
the
Abby.
The same sex?
The same sex. That's, yeah, you know what? My better half might be right.
The English teacher. Thank you very much.
The English teacher really is coming through. So with that background, I kind of did, you know, just want to kick it off. Angie, let's start with you. Just okay. What are your initial thoughts on the matter?
I mean, as I just said, like 2015, that is so close to where we are now, which is crazy to think about that, you know, as you said, 7 years ago or whatever, 7 or 8 years ago is when it was legalized to get married in all states, same sex, which is absolutely mind blowing to me because, I mean, our generation, we grew up luckily in a generation that's very accepting, very, to the most part, accepting, open-minded when it comes to gay rights, what your pronouns are and all of that. But I also think it's interesting because I'll get into this later, but Roe v. Wade, I know everyone thinks about abortion, but it's all about privacy, not specifically abortion. It's about privacy and like mm-hmm. who you're sleeping, the privacy to keep in your house, who you're sleeping with and all of that. Which is what we're going through now as well. So,
yeah,
that Abby. Is all crazy.
I mean, I definitely feel like Angie said, like the younger generation, especially being an English teacher and like watching kids like exist is like super accommodating of pronouns, of sexuality. But at the same time, like, there are other even faculty members that I work with that have a harder time accepting it. So I feel like as our generation and the generation below us kind of comes into more prominence in terms of becoming adults and having a say in the way the world works, the world becomes a little bit more accepting. But it's unfortunate that, like, the people that actually make the laws are not our age. They're not our generation. And so they don't necessarily consider, like, who we are.
And then looking at a bit of an international scale, only 31 out of 195 countries have any type of law in place, or not necessarily a law, but a right in place for the same sex to get married. And that could either be a constitutional law or a Supreme Court decision or something along those lines. What are your thoughts on that for internationally, that only 16% of the countries, it's legal?
I think it should be way more. I mean, me personally, it should be 100% just because we are in, 2022 right now? Like, come on. We are not. I was talking to my dad at dinner about this. Like, when they wrote the Bill of Rights, like, we the people was white property
land-owning men.
Exactly. And he was like, guess what? We have black property-owning women. Like, like, nowadays, like, we have to accommodate to, like, we the people is everybody. So I feel like 16% is sad, to say the least.
I think there's an interesting correlation there between, like, the amount, the countries that accept gay marriage and gay rights, and, like, the countries that have religious ties in the way that their country works, if they're extremely religious, or if they're, if the main religion in that country has, like, thoughts and feelings on homosexuality and gay people. Oftentimes it's harder for those legislations to pass. But I think also on, like, a positive side of things, just because the laws don't exist doesn't mean that those people don't exist, and doesn't mean that there isn't support within, like, the community and within, like, the population of those countries for gay people, at least on a general scale, although there's always, you know, the exceptions to that rule.
So just to chime in here with my two cents, a lot of the time with the religious thing, people often view either Islam or Judaism as that, but Christianity, I mean, I'm Polish and I can speak a lot to Poland and their international policy and whatever. They are one of the most Catholic countries that exist. And because of that, a lot of pro-gay laws are always stricken down. I mean, like, a year or two ago, they had a vote for gay couples being able to adopt kids, and it got struck down because I don't remember what the reasoning was, but it did. And that was a huge monumental thing because a lot of people thought it would go through just for the sake of, you know, these kids need parents. It's better for them to have two moms or two dads than to have no parents. And it still got struck down. But as someone that has gone to Poland many times, I do know gay people are there. Like, it's not something that just isn't going to be there. Just because it's not legal doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So that's just my two cents on the matter.
Right.
But then back on that, do you think that the matters of gay rights have been adequately resolved in the United States?
No.
I mean, it's all legal.
No.
No, I don't.
All right. No. Tell me more about that.
I think just because a law exists and just because, like, the Supreme Court exists and has said XYZ doesn't mean that, one, it's put into, like, people believe in it. And it's accepted. Like, there are still people being disowned by their families. There are still people that get, like, attacked in the streets. There are still places in the U.S. that you and I, Kat, couldn't travel to because we are a gay couple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't think that, like, maybe legally and on paper, sure. But, like, even with, like Angie said earlier, the Roe v. Wade thing, like, you can still see, like, individual states making bans on, like, access to abortion. Despite the fact that it's still technically legal on a Supreme Court level, individual states are taking their stand. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's pretty unique to the U.S., that, like, federal laws don't always, like, there's a little bit of a discrepancy between what exists and what is in practice. So I would say no.
I would also say no. also, with, like, the Roe v. Wade thing, it starts at one point, and again, I was talking to my dad at dinner today, and he was also worried because he was like, you know, they're starting an abortion and, like, they're going to keep moving to, like, get rid of, you know, everyone's rights, that if you're not a straight white man. basically. And it is great that we have these laws in place that are written down and like, but there are way too many people that aren't accepting and that you will be like belittled for. And like, you like, if you're like bisexual, whatever you identify as, like, it's tough because if you're not just straight, because like you have to, one, feel like you have to explain yourself, which you don't. And two, it's like there are always going to be people that just don't accept you who don't even know you. And so, no, I agree with Abby.
Yeah, for sure. So just adding on to that, what do you think still needs to be done? Because one thing to note is that, you know, the right to be married to the same sex and even the right to privacy is not a law. Like, this is something that the Supreme Court decided, but it's not written in law. Congress never approved it. It was never signed into law by the president. Like, that's just the court system. If the court system overrules it, it's gone. So what do you think still needs to be done?
Constitutional amendments. They've were written by the founding fathers to make changes based on the country and what's happening and the world. And that is the only way that America can modify its legal code is by having Congress. And that's the thing, is that Congress is made up of straight old white men. So kind of difficult to get them on team support the gays. But, you know, I think also that like a social kind of shift in terms of like the older generation normalizing queerness and normalizing like homosexuality. You know, like I think a lot of older people still believe that being queer is like not right, in air quotes. I'm doing air quotes, just to clarify. And also that like, it's kind of weird, or like there's some kind of stigma attached to it. And so kind of fixing that would also probably help.
Yeah. And definitely having not old white men in Congress. Also, the presidents need to be younger as well, because that is a whole different thing. But I feel like we just keep getting these old white men into office, no matter what position they're in. And it's like, why are we still voting for the same people? Like, I don't know. We definitely need to do more with that. And like, my parents, for example, are older, and they still have, they have a tough time with like the whole pronoun thing. They acknowledge it and they want to learn, but they have a tough time understanding, because they're like, that's with some pronouns, they're like, that doesn't make sense in like, you know, grammar. And I'm like, well, yes, but that's what they're comfortable with. So you just have to like go with that, which thankfully my parents are very accepting of, but it is, it could be confusing. And I feel like more of the older generation needs to be more open to learning about it, because a lot of them are not.
Yeah. So while you guys were speaking, I kind of looked up when the last amendment was passed, and it has been 30 years since that happened. So it is pretty difficult to pass an amendment. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so I'm going to kind of shift gears a little bit and kind of ask the question of the day. I think it's a fun topic to talk about overall and just discuss. What are your thoughts on the commercialization of the rainbow? So, you know, just companies making their logos rainbow, companies posting about, you know, happy Pride Month, we do all this for diversity, inclusion, blah, 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 this, that, and the third.
Yeah, Abby's making hand gestures, so I'll let her go.
Well, I actually sent you two TikToks about this today.
Yeah.
One of them is, like, the idea of, like, which companies put the Pride logo on their, you know, like, frontward-facing social media, and, like, they create Pride collections and so on and so forth. And then behind the scenes, they're donating to anti-gay politicians. They're supporting bills that are against the LGBTQ community. They're you know, like actively involved in these kind of like, it's performative activism. They're saying one thing, and then behind closed doors, they're taking money from people that believe in something else. And so like, if I'm all for like Pride logos and the, you know, kind of commercialization of the rainbow in terms of creating an acceptance, but it's important that you follow through on that. So like, you know, I know, there was one TikTok, the TikTok I sent you today. What was the company?
I didn't watch your TikTok.
Sega. The, like, the video games company.
I haven't gotten to them yet.
The video games company, Sega, they actually, like, actively work to make an LGBTQ-friendly workplace. And then they created, like, a Pride-themed logo, and it was like, I'm like, all right, cool, go for it. MLB, like, actively supports, like, yeah, like pro gay organizations. They like they make it a safe space for baseball players and like community members to be gay there, and like they have a Pride logo, and like they posted something on their social media. It was like, everybody belongs in baseball. And it's like, I personally, as a huge baseball fan, believe that. Like, I see that, like, everybody has a place in baseball. And so it's kind of like, but for example, Walgreens donates money to Florida politicians who support the Don't Say Gay bill. So right. That's my two cents.
Yeah, I was kind of going to say something similar. Like, it all depends on what you... Like, because Pride Month is great. The rainbow, you can commercialize it. Like, put it out there in the world. Make people, like, really become, like... Okay, wait a minute. Pause. They both just drank at the same time and stared at me weirdly. Anyways.
I was staring at Kat.
Anyways, I think it's great to, like, put it out there so people get used to it and people, like, can accept it more, and I feel like it's a beautiful thing. But then it's, like, once June ends, like, Pride doesn't end. And I feel like Pride is all year long, and it should be all year long for everybody. And yes, we have this month, and we have Women History Month, we have, like, all, like, Black History Month, we have all these months, but... All of them, including Pride, should be all year long. And if you're going to put that on your website as these big companies, big corporations, you have to be doing it all year long to be considered, you know, an ally.
Also, that made me think of something. I have never, like, I don't see very often, like, Women's History Month collections posted by, like, major companies. Like, Target has a whole Pride section. And it's like, that's great and all. But, like, I don't see that same thing for Black History Month or for, like, Women's History Month or Asian American Pacific Islander History Month.
Right.
Like, why is the rainbow and, like, gayness something that people feel like they can market and profit off of?
Because it's colorful. That's
fair enough.
That's probably the reason, honestly.
Fair enough.
Like,
fair
it has enough. Certain colors it's associated trendy. With it. Yeah, no, it is. It's it trendy. Is trendy. It has easy colors to go with. Like, rainbow is very in your face, whereas, like, there isn't a universal color for women.
Pink.
Or, I guess, but...
Gender stereotypes. Yeah, but
that's also cancer, like, breast
yes,
cancer.
We love that.
So women have breasts.
There you go.
Well, oh, no, not just women have breasts.
That's true. That's true.
Some men do.
Some men do, and also some people that don't identify with one of the genders do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. So, I mean, the reason I was asking that is because Adidas is a good example of it. They have a year-round colorful Pride, you know, section, and they were also the biggest sponsor of the World Cup in 2018, which was in Russia, and they gave them a lot of money.
Please don't ruin my favorite shoe company for me.
They're my favorite as well, but it's, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it is. They funneled a lot of money into an event, into a country that's very homophobic, but they have this whole Pride, you know.
I feel like that's not as egregious
it's not.
Companies that are quite literally supporting anti-gay legislation.
No, yeah, it's like, definitely not. You know. But that's what got me to think of the whole commercialization thing. And then the next one, I have another general question before we dive deep into specifics. Just how do you feel about Pride parades as a concept?
Oh my God, I love them. Just because, like, I've been to two of them with you specifically, Kat. And it's just, like, happy. Everyone is just so happy. They, like, want to be there. They want to express themselves. And I feel like at those parades, like, no one is really... I've never seen someone judgy at the two I've been to. And it's just, like, everyone is family. And I feel like it's a very good time for everyone to just go out, be themselves, and just not care. Mm-hmm. Because that's how it should be. So I loved when I went, but... I don't know.
Yeah, Abby, I know you've never been to one, but what are your thoughts on them as a concept?
I think as long as people are celebrating safely and responsibly and they're very aware of their surroundings, because at the same time as they're a celebration, they can also be a target for people that don't believe in or agree with gay rights and the celebration of homosexuality. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, always exercise caution and be careful and aware of your surroundings when you attend a large event like that.
So, backpacking on that, what are your thoughts on straight people going to Pride parades?
I think as long as you're authentically supporting the gay community, go for it. Like, you know, the whole point of being like of pride parades and pride in general is to create an acceptance and a normalization of gayness.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the more straight people that are okay with gay people and that celebrate with us, the better.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think like showing that like straight people are there as allies and everything, it just creates more of a community and more of a love and a widespread of that. And I feel like that's great.
Hot take. You know who I think the most powerful ally is?
Who?
Straight white men.
Yeah, no.
I think there's no more powerful ally to the gay community than a white man that's like, hell yeah, that's my gay friend.
Yes.
Like, because those are the people that you traditionally assume are not allies.
Yeah. Right.
And those are the people that, like it or not, are treated the best in society.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so now we're going to dive deeper kind of into your personal lives, your associations, your experiences. So, Angie, we're going to start with you. Just give the listeners a bit of a background on yourself, what your sexuality is, what do you identify as, do you identify as anything, what are your pronouns, and when did you know that you're part of the LGBTQ community?
Okay, well, I'm Angie.
No.
What?
I know, crazy. But I am bisexual recently, within the past few years, since COVID, I came out to Kat, you first, and not really my family yet, but I've also hinted at it, and they don't really care. But my pronouns, she, her, cis, white, female, sadly. you know, it is what it is, but again, I found out, or I came out as bisexual a few years ago when the pandemic originally hit, and it was tough. It was tough to accept because it was very confusing, because I was like, how am I interested in everybody, basically? But I'm very happy. So, yeah.
Okay.
Hi. I'm Abby. I, like, grew up assuming that I was straight, like most people do. I had a few experiences with women in high school, but I still didn't feel comfortable giving myself a label because I was dating only men. And so I was like, well, how can I be bi if, like, how can I be interested in women if, you know, I only date men and so on and so forth. And I just didn't feel comfortable giving myself that title because it didn't feel like I'd earned it. And I currently identify as gay, but more so, I still don't feel like that's a title that I've earned. Because Kat is the only woman that I've seriously ever dated. And so I feel like I haven't done enough gay things to be gay. You know, like I joke to my friends, and I'm like, I'm just Kat sexual. Like the only person that I'm interested in right now is Kat. And so that's my sexuality, is just my partner. But like my pronouns are she, her. I was born as a cis white woman. And I kind of like, I've never thought that I was straight. Like, I was 9 and Googling, like, girls kissing. And, like,
yep.
I was, like, in high, like, middle school, like, watching girls kissing clips in my study hall. Like,
on YouTube. Like,
yeah, like, I showed my cousin and I was like, come look at this. Like, and then she told her aunt, my mom, like, I got in trouble for, like, showing my cousin gay videos. It was a bad time. But, like, you know, you explore. But I was, like, also Googling boys kissing. So, like, you know, was I ever, you know, ever straight? Probably not. I made my girl Barbies kiss, like, you know, kind of all up and down the spectrum. But now I'm just kind
always.
Of, I'm pro cat.
Nice. Nice.
We love being pro cat.
This is a win. All right, so just kind of continuing on that, what is your, I know each of you kind of touched upon it, but what is your experience with the opposite sex, and then what is your experience with the same sex? And by experience, I mean, you know, talking phases, kissing, sleeping with, dating, etc.
I mean, with me, I've only seriously dated, and honestly dated in general, men as like I come off as straight, basically. But I have talked to women before. I've kissed all of my friends. I've kissed like girls that I was interested in. I've flirted with girls at like bars and stuff, but nothing ever came of it. 'Cause again, like, I don't know. I just felt like I've only, as Abby said before, like I've only dated boys, men, whatever. So I didn't want to put that title on myself. And also like society has made you be like, no, you should be straight from growing up. So it was never like a thing. But one of my first like experiences was in middle school with a girl like who I made out with. And I was like, this feels weird. And I was so confused. And I think that was like when I really realized.
Okay. Well, I've kind of said it, but like I've seriously dated only men and then Kat. Mm-hmm. I've done like the talking to, kissing, like casual dating phase with women in the past. But like past a couple dates or like past more than just talking. You know, I've only ever dated men and women for like prolonged, or men and Kat for a prolonged period of time. So yeah, that's kind of my origin story.
I've never been on a date with a woman and I've never slept with a woman. So
would recommend.
Okay, same. Well, same. I am now dating, and guess what? Another man.
All right. So then, continuing on, who was your gay awakening, and did you actually did you have one?
I don't really have one. I was just always kind of like cartoons, Disney Channel. I was always like, oh, she's hot. You know, it was never like a specific person. But Abby made a face, so I want to hear this.
I realized this recently.
So like, yesterday, realized this yesterday.
Okay. I was always like into girls, but like the one like TV character that I was like, that's my type, Jennifer Giroux from Criminal Minds.
Ooh, interesting. Good one.
I would have her children.
Yeah,
if I could.
I love Criminal Minds, and she's hot. So
and Emily Prentice,
yeah, yes,
just Criminal Minds. Just
agree.
Just the powerful women in Criminal Minds.
Yeah,
yeah. My
agree. Sorry,
my gay awakening was Olivia Wilde's character in House 13.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah,
yeah, that one, because it was also the first, you know, LGBTQ character I've seen, because she was bisexual on the show. And, like, for me, I was like, oh, that's okay. Oh, you can like women. That, like, kind of just, that sent me into a whole, like, spiral of questioning. All right, moving on. Coming out. When did you do it? Why did you do it? Did anything specific happen that caused you to do it? Did you feel safe doing so? Were you worried about how people would react? Just give me the details.
I didn't have, like, a big coming out, I would say. I only really came out to, like, my friends. Again, my family. My parents, thankfully, love them, very accepting. So I never felt the need to, like, come out to them, because they were always like, whoever you marry, like, I don't care as long as you're happy. And I get grandkids somehow. I really don't care. And so I never really had, like, a coming out, which I'm, like, grateful for. But I'm also like, should I have done more for myself? Like, I don't know. I don't know, but I had a coming out to, like, you, Kat, and a couple of my other friends, and that was scary, even though you yourself are gay.
I've gotten that before. I've gotten that, like, I've had multiple people come out to me, and they were like, I was so scared to do it. I'm like, bro.
You were probably the one person I was really scared of telling. Not because, like, I thought you were gonna not accept me, but it was just, like, I didn't feel as gay, I would say.
No, that's it. So that's, I was like, thing. Like, no, measuring up, like, Kat and I've talked about it, like, I don't feel like I can be gay because she's gay, and it's like, I've only ever dated her.
So I didn't want it to be like a, oh, are you, like, are you sure? Like, I knew that, I knew in my heart and what I know about Kat that she would just be like, okay, and, but, and, like, I love you, and okay, that's it. But it's like the little back thoughts of, like, I don't know. I'm not fully lesbian. Like, I'm bi. Mm-hmm. Like, I like men more than I like women at this point. Like, at any point in my life, am I still considered bi? Am I, like, I don't know. So that played in my mind a lot.
So I've had, like, both positive and negative coming outs. I kind of realized that, like, I wanted to explore with women when I was breaking up with my last ex. And I kind of told him that, and he was like, you're not bi. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you know, you've been lying to me all these years, like that kind of reaction. And I didn't really take it to heart because I was breaking up with him. So, like, you know, good riddance. But what really got me, so I went to therapy for like 2 sessions, and I stopped going to this therapist because I talked to her, and she was like one of the first people that I like told that I was dating a woman. And, you know, a therapist you'd think would be really accepting, but she told me that I couldn't be gay because I've had sex with a man. And then she asked if Kat had had sex with a man. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, she's not gay either. So I left that therapist and I called Kat absolutely raging.
Yeah.
I was so mad. Because I was like, who is she? Who is she to say what I am? Like, she can't attribute an identity to me. But then I kind of realized that, like, you know, same as, like, Angie, you talked about going through that, like, am I enough? Is what I'm experiencing enough? You know, I had that same feeling in that moment. I was like, this is a licensed professional telling me that I'm something that I, you know, I thought I was. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that people aren't shit. So then I just kind of, like, washed it and I walked away from it. But, like, I didn't really come out to my friends. I kind of, like, we were hanging out over the summer when I was finally single. And, like, I just made jokes all the time that I was like, I'm gay. I like women. And they were like, okay. You know, like, no one ever really said anything. And then when I started dating Kat, I called my mom. And I was like, hey, mom. And she was like, what's going on? And I was like, so I'm dating a woman. And she was like, okay, are you happy? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And she was like, cool. And my dad was the same way. He was like, okay, like, surprise me with something else. But, like, also my parents have, like, kind of got a history of, like, dropping bombs on one another. So, like, it's all chill. But, like, yeah, I didn't really have any kind of, like, a negative reaction. But, like, it wasn't really, like, there was no party. There was no, like, let's have a celebration about this. Like, congratulations. It was kind of just like, okay, you're still Abby.
Yeah, it was kind of the same for me, I would say.
Okay. So let's talk about bisexuality a bit more then. There's a lot of stigma attached to it. You know, if you date one gender, are you really interested in the other? I know you touched on this a bit, Angie. And so I have kind of two separate questions for you guys. So I'll start with Angie, because this one's tailored for you. As someone that has never dated or been with a woman, there's a stigma attached that you're not really bisexual. You know, how could you know you're really bi? Are you really bi? Or are you straight and just think girls are pretty? How do you deal with that stigma? How do you, you know, do you feel like you have to defend your bisexuality to others? Talk to me.
That was a lot of questions. but I definitely feel like for me, with my situation, it's like there definitely is a stigma because, you know, I've really only, I wouldn't say seriously, but it was more than casual talk to a girl, right? Once. It was one girl. You know who I'm talking about, Kat. And I had never been with anybody, and luckily she had never been with, like, well, I had never been with any girl and she had never been with any girl, but she fully gay, me bi. And so that made me feel better about it because I was like, oh, you just know you don't like men at all and you've never been with a woman. So, like, the experience doesn't really matter because to me it's like, yes, all girls are pretty, in my opinion. Am I sexually attracted to all girls? No. Am I sexually attracted to a large portion? Yes. so it's like, it's different. It's not just like a, for me anyways, it's not just like I appreciate girls on the street and it's not like, oh, I would like bend her over and bang her, you know. It's I feel like, you know, like, guys are so disgusting. All right, don't point at her. But there is a stigma and it's tough because I felt like I could never really say that I was bi because I was like, I have no experience. So what if I had an experience and I hated it? I have no idea. Or what if I had an experience and I loved it and then I was like, fuck, man, like, I don't know. Sexuality is so confusing in general. And I don't think anyone should really have, like, a solid label. I think everyone should just be, like, just go with what you like. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's my thing.
Okay. Abby, your question, also tailored to you. You've dated men your whole life. You were in a long-term relationship with a man. And now you're dating a woman. There's a stigma associated with that, is that you were actually gay the whole time and it took you a while to figure it out. How do you feel about that? Do you think it takes away from your individuality? You know, is it the person that you're currently with representative of who you are and should be?
Well, fuck them. Like, if people think that I shouldn't be gay or that I'm gay and I just, like, fucked around with men or that I was, like, leading men on, like, okay. They can think whatever they want to think. Like, all at the end of the day, all that matters is that I'm doing the thing that's right for me at that time. Mm-hmm. And I've never regretted dating any of the men that I've dated, except for the one. There was one. But I've never, like,
We all have the one.
I don't walk away from, like, the things that I commit to or the things that I do with regrets. I try my best not to, like, hang on to the bad parts of it and, like, the what I did wrongs. But at the same time, like, I think that the person that I'm with right now is the person that I should be with right now. If I didn't think that, I wouldn't be with her. I mean, do you agree?
Yeah, no, that's
because that'd be really awkward.
Well, I mean, for the listeners, while she was talking, I just kind of put two thumbs up in the air. I was like, nice.
But, like, I mean, I don't think it takes away from my individuality to be assumed as gay because that's what I present as. If you were to ask me if I was gay, I would say yes. If you were to look at me with my partner on the street, you would assume that I'm gay. And I think that so much of labels is giving the outside world a image of what you are. You know, like, you can, I might, if I was walking down the street with one of my guy friends, be presumed as straight. And so, like, I don't feel like I have to wear a I'm a lesbian sign on my head regularly. But, like, at the same time, I'm never going to be shy about, like, who I'm with or what, or, like, what I'm doing with that person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And then one question I just kind of thought of while you guys were speaking. Bisexuality is on its own very much a spectrum. You know, you could be, one day you could be 50-50, next day you could be 10% 90, you know, or 90% 10 the other way. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
95%
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, Angie, you prefer men, like you've said it earlier. And it's like, so what's your thought on the spectrum of bisexuality?
No, it's definitely a spectrum. I mean, I, in total of my life, have preferred men. And I think just in all, I prefer men. But like when I'm single or when I'm like, even with some of the guys that I've dated, I've always been like, man, I just really need to like fully put myself out there and experience what I want to experience. But it's definitely a spectrum. It's a day-to-day thing. It could be a week-to-week thing. It could be a month-to-month thing. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you could see like a really hot girl and you're like, that's my wife. Like, if that's just like your type. Yeah, literally. You too. you could be like straight or more straight one day, like more into guys. And then the next day you see like your perfect woman on the street and you're like, holy shit. You know, so it does fluctuate and it does change, which is why I think it could be and is very confusing for a lot of bisexuals.
Yeah, I mean, I have like a hot take on this. I think the one time that like I don't love like the label of bisexuality is the people that are like the men specifically that are like, if it wasn't for me, she'd be with a woman, like that. Mm-hmm. He's the only exception to her gayness, or you know, or the, like
the men who are like, oh, you're bi, let's have a threesome.
Yeah, but like even just like I'm more thinking like long-term relationships where it's like, yeah, she was gonna give up on men until she met me. Or right. Like, you know, or even the girls that are like, he's the only guy that I like, otherwise I'm into only women. And it's like, but that kind of, in my opinion, cheapens the people that are gay, because it's like, then people might feel like they have that savior complex as well of like, oh, she just needs to meet the right man. And that's such a stigma that gay people experience. You just need to meet the right person of the opposite sex, then you won't be gay anymore. And so I feel like that's kind of residual from that stereotype of like, she's bi except for me, or like, she's gay except for me. And it's like, I don't love that. But like, otherwise, I think especially with the increased prevalence of trans and non-binary people, bisexuality is like, in my head, still just men and women. And so like, that doesn't really exist anymore. You know, it's kind of like bisexuality and pansexuality are becoming these generally increasing labels for queerness in general, of people that just don't like only cis white men or cis women. You know, if you're straight, you like cis men, cis women, or people presenting as men or people presenting as women. But like, if you're bi or pan or queer, you kind of fit anywhere on that spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, this is a topic that my parents get confused with, what you kind of got into, which is like, okay, I was born, let's say I'm born a woman, which I was, and I feel like, you know, I really am a male. But let's say I transition, right? And then I present myself as a male. I'm a guy, opposite sex. And let's say as a female, I liked women growing up. So I would say I'm gay growing up. Like as a kid, I only liked women. I transition. I still like women. I am now straight. My parents don't get that. Like they really, really, really try to. And my mom, she's great. She asks a ton of questions. She's like, I'm not meaning to be. She asked me the questions, which thankfully, because to anyone else, it might come off wrong. But she just really tries to get it. And it's just, I don't know. A lot of people just don't get that concept of, yeah, trans people, pans people, pansexuality, like that's a thing. And that plays into the factor of bisexuality, gayness, all around queer. So
yeah, and those are questions that it's not necessarily, you know, you have to be a boomer to ask. Like me and Abby had a similar conversation recently where like, mm-hmm. if you're this but you transition and now you're this but you like that gender, are you straight? Like we literally had the same exact conversation. Yeah. So it's one of those things where like it makes you think. It's an interesting point of conversation. You're also trying to understand, you know, you want to be accepting, you want to be correct, and you just want to understand what's happening. So
yeah, which is why like I love the conversations I have with my parents about it, because they are generally like genuinely very interested and want to know so they don't offend people. Mm-hmm. And they just are really, really trying, like bless their hearts.
Like I would never fault someone for wanting to learn more and accept more. It's like if you're asking questions to be ignorant or to say stupid shit, that's mm-hmm. different. But if you're asking questions for the right reasons, then I would never fault anyone for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so now I'm gonna kind of shift gears into specifically who you guys are dating at the moment in terms of genders. So Angie, you're dating a man. Abby, you're dating a woman. So you're going to answer your questions based on those, like that background. So based on who you're currently dating, do you have to worry about where you can live? Do you have to worry about your safety?
No.
Yes.
Why?
Hate crimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I'm adopted. I was born in Louisiana. And I have family that live there, and one of them reached out to me and they're like, do you have anyone special in your life? And I was like, yeah, I'm dating a woman. Her name is Kat. And I have not heard from them since. And so like, you know, I don't care necessarily. Like these aren't people that I need acceptance from or that I crave acceptance from. But like that gave me enough of an indication that like there are places in the world that like I would not be safe living in, because I would face at the very minimum prejudice and at the very most physical attacks.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, me dating a man now, I don't have to worry about that, because the whole world, like it's female dating male, it's like that's what's seen as normal. It's always been seen, you know, mm-hmm. as the thing. But, you know, I was also adopted from Arizona, which is a very conservative state. And not speaking on my behalf, but my half sister, she is gay. And she had a full-on argument with our birth mom on Facebook, but our birth mom blocked her. And, like, it was on, like, a post, too. It was, like, comments. And my birth mom was arguing with a 16-year-old. And we were like, all right, like, what's happening? So that made me, like, rethink, because me coming, like, I'm bisexual. Like, if I were to date a woman, I would be, you know, aware that, like, they're not my family, but like that side would see it because I have them on Facebook, and that would happen. So then I would be more aware, be more afraid, but I am dating a man, and so that thought doesn't really cross my mind with him specifically.
Yeah. Okay, so do you ever think twice about telling someone who you're dating because of their gender? Like, do you pause?
With my current partner?
Yep.
No.
You answer first.
putting me on the spot. No, I do. I absolutely do. If I'm, like, if someone's talking to me about my partner, if I want to say, you know, like the other day, me and Abby were getting on the bus and a lady complimented my ring. And I just, like, it was from Abby, but it's like, I just said it was a gift. I didn't say it was a gift from my girlfriend. I paused. I literally said, I'm like, I can't say that. I don't know how this lady's going to react. She could be super homophobic and start, you know, yelling at us. And I pause all the time. I'm very cautious as to who I come out to.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Abby, I don't need acceptance. I don't need people to like me. I don't need people to respect me. I'm confident and proud of who I'm with and my relationship with this person. And so I personally, if I felt like they were asking, they deserve to know the truth. I don't lie.
Yeah, I mean, if someone asks me directly, I'll never lie. It's more so like if I don't have to say it, I won't go out of my way to put a gender on my partner.
But then like Angie, if your boyfriend gave you a ring or like a necklace and someone's like, oh, I think that's really pretty. Would you be like, oh, thanks. My boyfriend got it for me. Like I wouldn't. I don't think about that.
No. So I would just accept the compliment.
No, it's not. I don't. It's not a gender thing. But it's like sometimes if you're like, "Thanks, it was a gift from my boyfriend," or "Thanks, it was a gift from my girlfriend."
Like I've never like I've worn significant jewelry from all of my significant others, and I've never once said, "Thanks, it's a gift from XYZ."
Okay, I'm saying as like that's the thought that crossed my mind when that happened.
Fair.
Because I was with you. But at even the time your coworkers, as well.
Like you.
Yeah, I mean, even my coworkers, like I, like every time I talk about Abby. I either talk about it in gender neutral terms or I don't mention a gender at all. I'll be like, yeah, you know, we're having a Valentine's Day date, but I won't be like, who's the where?
Right.
We're. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm very cautious of how people are going to react. And it's like for places at like work, it's not something that I can just hop around and, you know, find a new thing. It's not that easy. So it's like, I don't want to create a hostile environment for myself because I just never know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk kids. Creating a hypothetical scenario here that both of you want children, you know, however you might want them. Based on your current relationship, how easy or difficult is for you to have them?
Based on my current relationship, very easy. I don't know. I mean,
assuming, like, all fertility is good.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, assuming
everyone is healthy, like, assuming all, yeah. Like, all of that is good.
Yeah, no, shouldn't be hard.
What for you? For
well, slightly more challenging.
Yes.
You know, there's always the, like, adoption foster care route. There's also, like, IVF. So either way, it's a huge financial commitment for us to have kids. We'd either need to have, like, a donor and go through, like, fertility treatments and, like, pay in that way or paying for a child that's not biologically related to us through adoption. And I, being adopted, know the cost. Like, I've read all of my parents' documents. I've read through their court cases. I've literally seen the thousands of dollars that they've poured into getting me. And so I can't imagine, you know, doing it twice, doing it three times if I wanted a big family. Right. I would need to, you know, have quite a bit of money saved up for that.
Yeah. And I mean, there's also surrogates too, which are not accepted in every state and also very expensive.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, crazy.
Yeah. If you want to have kids, it's, and you're not doing it, you know, biologically, it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. Okay. And then when you're in a relationship, do you ever feel pressured to behave a certain type of way based on your gender, whether you're with a man or a woman? Do you think that there are gender roles in relationships at all?
I think stereotypically there are gender roles. I mean, we all know them, like women kitchen, man work for like straight relationships, you know, like that's like, I don't think I feel in myself, I don't feel pressured whether I was with my current partner who's a man or if I were with a woman. I don't like, just cause I know myself. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I would need or that I currently need pressure or to act a certain way. Which I'm thankful for, again, because some people do feel that based on family, based on friends, based on who they're with. But yeah.
So if your current partner came home and was like, hey, Angie, I've decided I want to be a stay-at-home dad. What are your thoughts?
Go for it. I'll work. I don't care. I love working. I love making money because, well, I don't know. I love money. So, like, that's fine. I really don't care. Do what you want. Do what makes you happy, and I'll do what makes me happy.
Okay.
And we'll come together at the end of the day.
Well, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, Kat, as a more, like, masculine or, like, you know, less feminine-presenting woman.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I don't think there's necessarily gender roles in a relationship. I think, you know, people should act how they feel comfortable. And it's like, for me, I've never done anything to be more masculine or whatever. I just kind of have been from when I was young. Like, even when I was really young, I would, you know, try to buy guys clothes. And, like, I would go to, when, like, I was 8 or 9, my mom yelled at me all the time for it. She's like, what are you wearing? Like, what are you bringing here? Like, I'm not buying you this, whatever. And it's like, that was always a thing for me. I just found it more comfortable. It was just easier for me to do it that way. And it was never because I, like, felt pressured to do something. And, like, even in our relationship, I never feel pressured to do something. I just do things because I enjoy doing them. And, like, I like treating you a certain type of way. Or it's like, I'll like paying for dinner, even though, you know, stereotypically a guy does that. It's like, I just like doing it to treat you, not because I'm trying to fit a certain gender role, per se.
Do you feel like when we're in public, you're perceived as the quote-unquote man in the relationship?
See, that's the thing. It's like, I fucking hate that statement. Because the whole point of a lesbian relationship is that there is no man.
Right.
Contrary to popular belief, there is no man.
We don't need men.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, does society perceive us as that? Maybe. Just because it is a thing where it's like, someone has to fill in that role. Someone has to be more feminine and vice versa. And it's like, I don't think it does. Like, I think you can have two very masculine people together. I think you can have two very feminine people together. I don't think there needs to be a specific gender role assigned. It's like, as long as everyone's pulling their weight and, you know, managing, it's like, whatever. No, because, like, I wouldn't expect you to do, you know, the cooking, the cleaning, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, for me, it's a joint task.
Yeah. Even in, like, my straight relationships, I was like, you know, I cook, you clean. Like, it was like, I'm the woman, so I do that. Like, no. But, like, personally for me, like, I don't really, pretty clear so far that I don't really give a shit what people think of me. And so, like, no, I've never been, like, a super feminine woman. I've never been, like, a super masculine woman either. I prefer pants. Then I do dresses, but, like, at the same time, I'll rock a dress. I do feel like, you know, when I'm walking around with Kat, I am perceived as the more feminine one in the relationship. But at the same time, like, that's what people perceive. And it's not true. They're, like, Kat's the little spoon. Like,
yeah,
you know, she's 9 inches taller than me, much more muscular, always wears pants. Like, I've never seen you in a dress in our entire relationship.
Easter?
Aside from pictures. Yeah, but, like, you know what I mean. Like, you know, I've seen you in a dress for an hour.
For occasions. Yeah, I wear dresses for occasions.
You know, and so, like, despite all of that, I come home and she's like, give me a kiss. You know, like, very much, like, she's the little spoon. She doesn't fall asleep unless I am holding her. And so, like, we don't have gender roles in the sense of, like, there is no man. And I often make the joke that I'm the man. And we also both like providing for each other. We both enjoy that, like, aspect of, like, I can take care of you. And I don't think that that's unique to a lesbian relationship. I enjoyed doing things for my significant others when I was in straight relationships, quote unquote, straight relationships. You know, I think it's some people like the idea of, like, being the feminine one, being taken care of. It's just not me. It's not Kat. And it's not Angie. Like, there's just no gender roles don't exist here.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So to finish it off, I just kind of wanted to ask a more lighthearted question, just an overall general thing. Let's start with you, Angie. What does pride mean to you?
Pride is just like happiness, acceptance of who you are and loving yourself. And, you know, I feel like pride is very big on loving yourself and being comfortable in your own skin, but also providing the support and loving those around you no matter what they're going into, and like whatever they perceive as, whatever they want to identify as, like, it's all about just accepting.
I'm pride. I don't know. I'm never not proud. Like, pride just means, like, being the person that younger you would be proud of. Like, you know, if I look back at 9-year-old me Googling girls kissing on YouTube, Like, would she be happy with the woman I've become and who I'm able to be? And I think pride is also being proud of the community that you're in, the space that you're in, because, like, I don't know if I'd be out if I lived in Louisiana still. I don't know if I'd ever find out that I was gay if I lived in the South. I don't know. And so I think pride is also that feeling of, like, being proud of the area that you've lived in and the community that you've created around you. And also being proud of the person that you're with. And there's never a day that I'm not proud of Kat. There's never a day that I'm not happy to walk beside her and to call her my partner. And I think that that's pride in a nutshell, is like, you look at the person, your person, and you say, yep, that's mine.
Gay.
Is that a dollar?
No. I wouldn't charge for that. We have to give context for this, because I think it's funny.
When Kat and I started dating, I would frequently say that's gay to things that she said to me that were, like, super romantic. And so we decided to start gay jars, where every time one of us says something that's really gay to the other, we charge a dollar. And it's at the other person's discretion. And so usually that sentence that I just said would be worth a dollar. But I think it's because we're recording a podcast.
Yeah, it's because if this was a private conversation, which absolutely that would be a dollar. But because it's for the podcast, you save a dollar. But no, the whole purpose of them is that whoever fills their jar first gets to take the money from both jars, and they get to spend it on whatever they want. You know,
Invisalign.
Yeah, you could take the other person on a date. You could spend it on yourself. You could buy yourself a steak, whatever.
A steak?
Ooh, yeah.
That is such a niche thing. I'm gonna do that with my boyfriend.
So it's like it's.
I need to do that.
It's very much like it's a fun thing to do, because it's like, you know, whoever's the most gay gets it.
It's like gay competitions. It's like the Olympics.
Out-gay the other.
I need to think of a scenario where my boyfriend can fit into that, but he's not gay.
You can, you know, variations with it. And then we painted our jars, made them personalized, so it's cute.
Mine's cuter than
hers. It's cute.
I disagree. Mine has mafia members on it.
Yeah, so. But you're a very bad artist.
Of course yours does.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, to wrap things up, everyone, happy Pride Month for those of you that celebrate. Thank you to all the allies out there. And just, you know, be yourself, be happy, be proud, and enjoy your life.
Inspirational.
Thank you. Any parting thoughts?
It's very inspirational.
Fuck the haters.
Fuck the haters. Angie?
Literally fuck the haters.
Yeah. No, don't literally fuck the haters.
That's not what I meant, but, you know, don't fuck them. Fuck them, but don't fuck them.
Yeah.
Just, you know, focus on yourself, love yourself, and be the best you that you could be for yourself.
Yeah. And with that, outro music! Outro music.
See ya.